John chapter 8, and we are continuing a series we began last week of the great I Ams of Jesus Christ, that are statements made by Jesus in which he declares himself to be the great I Am, that we understand that it would be blasphemy unless it were true, that he was a man on this earth, but he was also fully God at the same time, that he, as we sang this morning, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That he was God come in the flesh, and he made himself manifest unto us. And because we're finite, we cannot understand the infinite, and so he explains himself to us in ways we can understand. Last week we looked at how he spoke that he was the bread of life, the one who gives sustenance, the one who gives satisfaction, the one who provides eternal life to us, and that in order to receive that eternal life, that we must partake of him by faith. And we want to look this morning at John chapter 8 and verse 12, another statement that the Lord makes. John 8 and verse 12, it says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son that you sent to die for our sins. We thank you that he is the bread of life and that he is the light of the world. We pray you would help us to understand and appreciate this truth. Help us to walk in your light, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see that this is Jesus' testimony of himself, that he was the light of the world. We also see earlier in the Gospel of John of how Jesus spoke of him as well in John chapter 1. In verse 7, that it was speaking of John, that he came for a witness. This is 1 John 1 and verse 7. He came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And it's the thought that we have of that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. That it says in verse 4 of that same chapter, it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." That the world had been in darkness for so long, there was not despair, there was not hope. You think of it that even in terms of the revelation of the Scriptures, of how Malachi had ended off, and there was 400 years of silence where there was no vision of the Lord, no word from him. And then Christ came, and he was the light unto the world. And it's interesting, actually, when you study light, that it's physicists have been studying it for years, and they still don't completely have it fully understood, that it's something that's unique, because in some ways it behaves kind of like a wave, like a sound wave. In other ways it behaves like a particle. And trying to actually understand how it all works is something that it's still not fully comprehended by man. But it is something that we realize as we understand light, that even though we don't understand how it all works, we certainly can appreciate it. We think of all that light gives unto us, the warmth that it gives, the beauty that it gives, just the spectrum of light that we have to enjoy through each day. I think it is a very apt description of Jesus as the light of the world, that it's something that we can kind of get a glimpse of him, kind of an understanding of him briefly, but it's kind of that we can, as we study the Word, it's almost like we're able to put a prism over that light and see an even greater spectrum of who he is. And it's something, the more we study him, the greater we appreciate him, but we never find the end of who he is. And we realize that we are a world that needs light. We think of it, of how so many things function. Our own bodies, we think of the process of photosynthesis in plants, that if there was no light, if there was no sun, that we would have no growth. If you've ever done an experiment in school, I know we did it once where we got some growing, and then we put it in the closet to see if it would grow. And of course, within a few days, it turns white and it dies. That it doesn't have light it doesn't have life. And we see that as well with the Lord, that He brings life to it. And we see how it says that the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That it's something that we understand too, that it's the same as if we're in a room and we're sleeping, and someone comes in and flicks the light on, of how we're blinded, that we have to almost turn away from it. And that's kind of the way it was when the Lord Jesus came, that this light that came, that the darkness comprehended it not. They didn't know what to do with it, that they didn't know how to accept it. But it was the true light, exactly what the world needed. That we see in Malachi verse 4, or chapter 4 and verse 2, that it refers to the Lord Jesus prophetically. It says Malachi 4 and verse 2, says, "Unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and he shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." That we understand in many ways that he is the Son, S-O-N, of righteousness, but there's also this idea that it's the S-U-N of righteousness, that with him that a new day dawns when he came upon this earth, that there was hope, that there was life, that there was a chance for an illumination of life far and of this world far beyond what was ever there before. And we think of that he came to reveal God unto us, that we could not understand him any other way except for him to come down in bodily form and try to explain God to us and to provide illumination. And we understand that's what light does, that we can stumble around in the dark. I know different times where the power goes off and you sort of try to find something, you try to see how the kids are, and usually you find the cupboard door that you left open or the kid's toy that was not put away. But yet when you have the light, that it manifests things, that you understand that the light shows things as they are. And that's what we understand, that the Lord Jesus, that he shows God as who he is. We see this in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. It says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." That it's the idea that it is through Jesus, as we view him, that we understand who God is. That these people that saw the Lord Jesus walk, that they could see the Father through him, that he revealed himself, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And we realize that God was fully revealed to us through Jesus Christ, that there was... it speaks in Colossians 2 that in him dwelleth the fullness of all the Godhead bodily. That it wasn't that he just kind of had a portion of who God was, that he was God wholly and completely in and of himself. And so because of him we had that illumination, things that we could not understand, things that we could not even comprehend in our lives, and that we can understand it through the Lord Jesus Christ. That through him we have access to the Father. Through him we can know the eternal, the infinite one. Though we understand the illumination that Jesus is, being the light of the world, not only does he illuminate to us who God is, he also illuminates us to ourselves. He shows us as we really are. And we see this principle in John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 20, it says, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." That any time we're doing something and we want to be thorough with it, we want to make sure something is done right. Usually, especially say if we're working a shop, we want to have illumination so we can see what we're doing. I don't know if any time you've tried to do dishes in dim light that you get it all done, and then if you actually get good light, then you see all the parts that you've missed. I know a few times I'd have to leave early, and so I'd go through my drawers to get some clothes, and in the dark I'd think they'd be fine, but then I'd find out later that they had a hole in it somewhere or something like that, that you don't see these things unless there's light to illuminate it. And that's what we understand, that the Lord Jesus, that He is, in Him is demonstrated the righteousness of God, that we see God in all His glory, we see Him, that He is the one that fulfilled God's holy standards. And when we see Him, that it's held up to us, and we see where we're inadequate. We see where our sin is. We see where we have fallen short of the glory of God. And we understand sometimes when that happens, we retract from that. It's like we preferred the dark because it didn't show all our faults. But yet we realize it's the Lord's not trying to make us feel awful. What He's doing is He's saying, these are things that I want you to deal with, things that I want to give you grace to overcome. I'm revealing them to you so you can give them to Me so that I can give you victory over them. And we need to learn that even though we may not like what we see, that we may allow the Lord to reveal it to us that we might be changed. We understand also with the idea of Jesus being the light of the world, that light is what we use to guide our way, that when we're going through the darkness, we travel, we have our headlights on, that it shows our path, that if we try to go without headlights, we might be able to go a ways, but if we can't see anything, we're usually going to end up in the ditch. And so we realize we need that we need to have Him directing us. It says there that he that followeth Me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And we need that guide in our life. We realize as humans that we try to go through life. We don't know the future. We don't know what's coming up. We have many choices in front of us, and we wonder, well, what path should I choose? That we realize that Jesus, who is God, who knows everything, He knows the future, He can illuminate our path. He can show us where we should walk. We read in Psalm 119:105, where it says that the Word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. And we understand that the written Word is that to us, that we can study the Word of God and get direction. But we understand the sense, just as the written Word is a lamp to our feet, so is the Lord Jesus, the living Word. Illumination to us. He shows us the path that we should take. He makes it clear to us where He would have us to go. We see John 11 in verse 9, it says, Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. That it makes sense that if we go out, that we try to go out in the day when we can see things, that we night is a time for sleeping. It's not for trying to find our way. And so we look to the light when the time that the light of the world is there, that we may be guided by Him. It says, John 12:35, and Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, yet darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. And that's the thought, that as He illuminates things unto us, that we need to follow that guide that He gives us. We have to take it by faith. Someone has said that following the Lord is kind of like following the headlights in your vehicle, that you only can see so far ahead. It doesn't show you everything, it just shows you a certain distance forward, and as you continue to go forward, you'll see further. And so we realize that the Lord wants to illuminate our way. He's not going to show us everything at once, because probably if He did, we'd be so overwhelmed we'd just quit and give up. But He shows us bit by bit what we need to know in our time. And as we follow Him, He illuminates our way. And it is something that we must value that and seek that. And so we want to realize that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He is the light that we need. He illuminates our world to us. He guides our way. But what is our response to Him? That do we turn away or do we follow the light? It is something we recognize as sinners that we are used to the darkness. We realize that Satan wants us to remain in blindness. He wants us to turn away from the truth, turn away from where God is leading us. And we see that in terms of the law. So it speaks in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. It says, beginning in verse 3, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." And you can think of that the devil wants to keep lost sinners blind to the truth, that they would not accept Christ as Savior. And I think he wants us to continue to walk in darkness as God's people, that we would do our own things. We would not allow Him to illuminate us as He desires to. We see that in 1 John, how it speaks of that in 1 John chapter 2, John says, 1 John 2 and verse 8, "Again, a new commandment I write unto you, that which thing is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. He that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes." And so we understand that Satan wants to keep us in darkness. He wants to have us turn away from the Lord. We see in 1 John 1 verse 6, it says, "If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." That He wants to do that. He wants us to come to the light, to follow Him. That even though we don't understand it, we don't comprehend it, even though sometimes we're shown something in our life that we wish we could just hide again, that we need to allow the light to work, that we need to come unto the light, that our deeds may be reproved, that we might believe on the light, on what it illuminates to us, that we do not reject it. We do not say to ourselves, "Well, I cannot accept that," but that we look to Him in faith. That we come unto the light. It says in Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 5, and this was Isaiah speaking to his people, it says, "O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord." And we realize with the Lord Jesus that He came that we might have a relationship with God through Him. That just as Adam and Eve walked with God in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day, that He wants to have that relationship with Him. That He wants to illuminate our steps each day. To have that time with us. That we would have this dependency upon Him. That we seek His will. We seek His ways. That instead of going through our day and stumbling and struggling, that instead that it begins with illumination, that the Lord shows us the path He would take, that He helps us through, He guides us in our way. And so as we believe on His light, as we follow Him, as we turn unto Him, that we allow Him to reveal Himself, and so that He can change us from the inside out. That's what He wants to do. He wants to manifest Himself in our lives. He wants to fulfill His design for us to be a light to this world. And so we must turn to Him. We realize for the lost that if they do not turn unto Him, that it brings condemnation. It speaks in John 3 and verse 18. It says, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And so we realize that if a lost person is shown the light and they turn from the light, the darkness that brings brings condemnation to them. And as a Christian, if the Lord is showing us something that and we resist it, we turn from it, that darkness that we have becomes such a blackness, a separation from the Lord. It doesn't separate, of course, our relationship with Him, but it breaks our fellowship when we find that place where we don't want to be in our Christian life. And we want to realize that God's purpose for us, that He said it unto us, that He is the light of the world. And what He desires for us as Christians is that we would be serving in His place. We would be manifesting His light within us, so that we too would be a light to the world around us. And we see in John 9 and verse 5, He said, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And we understand that while He was upon this earth, that people could come to Him, they could behold His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. But the Lord is now in heaven. And of course, His Word speaks even today and manifests Himself in that way. But we understand that He wants to manifest Himself to the world through us as believers. That He wants us to be in His place to fulfill the same mission that He has done in our lives. It says in Matthew 5 and verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." That we understand that if we who have been in darkness, that we have come to the light, that we have accepted Christ as Savior, that we have allowed Him to work in us, that we realize that God has a plan for us, that we are to be His representatives, that we are to be the light of the world, that it is our predestination as believers to be conformed to the image of His Son. And so if He is the light of the world, then we too must shine as lights before men. We see this how in Philippians 2 and verse 15. It says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." We realize that when the Lord Jesus came, the light came and the darkness comprehended it not. We realize that even today that we live in a very dark world, that there's so many that are blinded by sin, so many that are in despair, they have no hope for the future. They try and struggle through life and they can't seem to get anywhere. But we realize that the Lord wants to illuminate their lives. He wants to show them Himself. And so it is up to us as His people to shine as lights in this world. As the idea of the word Christian, when it was first given, it was not a term as we use today. It was actually a term of derision, an insult, and it meant little Christs. And that's what the Lord wants us to be, that He is the light of this world and we are to be little lights for Him. That in the corner of where we are in this world, that we would shine a light in the darkness. And that's it's actually a Jewish proverb I heard once where they said it's better to light one candle than to complain about the darkness. And that's what the Lord wants us to do, is to be that light to the world as He was. And so that many may come to that true light, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You that You are the light of the world, Lord. We thank You for what You have revealed of Yourself and what You have revealed of us, Lord, so that we may come to You for forgiveness. We just pray, Lord, that You would help us to always walk in your light, Lord, and not in our own ways. And pray, Lord, that we would be lights to the world, Lord, that we might glorify you in all that we do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand and we'll turn to number 262 and sing "The Light of the World is Jesus," hymn 262. On the first,
the whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, his glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, this shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. No darkness have we who in Jesus abide. The light of the world is Jesus. We walk in the light when we follow our guide. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. Ye dwellers in darkness with sin-blinded eyes, the light of the world is Jesus. Go wash at his bidding and light will arise. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. No need of the sunlight in heaven, we're told. The light of the world is Jesus. The Lamb is the light in the city of gold. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus.
Amen. Brother Allen, will you please close in prayer for us?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to meet you. Thank you for the gift of your Son.